Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Health Wealth Podcast. We've got another great episode this week. I'm joined by yet another guest who's got a really, really interesting story to tell. So our guest today is Carlo Taormina, which I think I've pronounced properly. How are you today, Carlo? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing well, brother. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. So first off, give us a little bit about yourself, a little bit of background, and then we'll get started into your story and the journey that you've been on and what you've learned.
Yeah, of course. So I come from two immigrant parents. You know, my family, both my parents actually immigrated from Italy. They did separately, but they met in America. And, you know, my dad, he lived like the traditional American dream. You know, he had nothing in his pocket when he got here, but he worked his way up. He built a business of his own, which was the restaurant business. And that's where I kind of got my little taste of like entrepreneurship, of ambition, you know, because I saw my dad and I was like, hey, if this guy can do it, who didn't know any English, came over to a completely different country and made a successful life for him, then I can do that too. And ever since I was a kid, I've always been that ambitious guy. I've always been the guy to shoot for the stars. You know, I've always been the dreamer. And ever since I was a kid, I've always had the identity of being a success, of being somebody. You know, I told myself, hey, if I can build a business, if I can get a bunch of money, if I can get the six pack, you know, look really attractive, then like that means I could do anything, you know? And what I didn't really realize, and I'm sure we'll touch on this later on, I didn't realize that that need for significance or validation to myself was actually really negative. And that's kind of what led to my story beginning in the first place. But I've always been the goofy guy, the jokester, you know, I've always been the guy to crack a joke. I've never wanted to shy away from a that's what she said joke. That's just my weird sense of humor. I'm a kid at heart, you know, I'll never grow up. And my fiance can tell you the same thing, but I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to share my story, open book today. And I just can't thank you enough for having me.
Awesome. Thank you for coming and giving your time and sharing your story. And I'm sure that there's a lot that people are going to learn today from the journey you've been on and what you've learned. So, you know, take us back to the start, to where your story begins, and let us know what was happened and what did happen.
Yeah, of course. So this was right in December of 2020. And this had nothing to do with pandemic, right? You know, I know a lot of people had a lot of mental health struggles with the pandemic, but for me, that's not really what happened. So at the end of 2020 in December, I had what I like to call a hell week. I had just everything I felt like in my life that was important just crumble down in 1 week. And I didn't know how to react. I didn't know how to respond to it. So I just kind of backed up and just quit. I was like, I can't do it anymore. So basically what happened is there was first this moment where I had a gym management position. I was a manager and operator of this gym that I got fired from. I got sacked from. And that kind of came out of left field. I had a serious back injury, and that really wrecked me up. I don't know if you know much about back injuries, but I had an L5 S1 hernia of the disc, and I couldn't walk for a period of time. And it was excruciatingly painful. And then the same week, I was seeing a girl at the time who we were both madly in love. You know, we were saying we're going to get married, have kids, the whole shebang. And she calls me one day. She's like, hey, I want to break up. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. And then at the time as well, I also had my own online personal training business. And I was losing money out of ears. I was spending more money than I was making. And I was just going crazy. And all this happened in a week. And I took a step back and looked at my life. And I was just like, what just happened? Like, what did I do to deserve this? Why me? Why are there little 14-year-old girls dancing on Instagram and TikTok and making a bunch of money? And I'm here being the young, ambitious, hardworking entrepreneur that I am. And I'm not seeing any results. My whole life is falling apart. I can't walk. This person doesn't like me. What's wrong with me? And I just went into this negative spiral, you know? And I literally laid in bed every day for a year. So 2021 was like a gap year, right? Like, I don't even remember being 24. I think that's how old I was. I forget. But like, I don't even like, it's like that year just went, you know, and the only thing I can remember was just laying in bed every day, not communicating with my family. And at the time I lived with my parents, you know, and that made me feel even more like a failure because I was still living at home. I didn't communicate with my family. I didn't really have a whole lot of friends. I didn't communicate with them anyway. It was so difficult to leave the bedroom, let alone my bed. I just literally was a vegetable every day. I would watch TV. I would play video games, anything to distract myself, to stop thinking. You know, I wanted to sleep 24/7. Unfortunately, I couldn't. But it was so hard to just to think and just reflect on the person I became, who I was. And eventually it developed into this incredible self-hatred. You know, it was a point, man, where I couldn't look at myself in the mirror because I called myself the nastiest things. I told myself I was a failure, I was a loser, I was worthless, that I'm never going to have a purpose, I'm never going to be able to do anything I want in my life, never going to get married, have kids, never going to have a successful business, none of that stuff. And I just couldn't take it. You know what I mean? Like, I just couldn't live with the fact or the reality that I was this person that I didn't want to be. So I just didn't know what to do. And that's why I just laid there all the time. And I was very suicidal. You know, there was a very close time where I almost did make that decision that you can't come back from, you know, and that's just how it started. And that was one heck of a year, I'll tell you.
Yeah, man, that is intense. Yeah, that is a lot to happen. And then, you know, that year is, you know, that's crazy just to feel like that. And people do get like that. I wouldn't say, how did it affect your relationship with your family? And also, how did they kind of respond? Because were they trying to do things to get you out of this? What was the interactions between you?
Yeah, so my family was amazing. You know, I can't thank them enough for what they did for me during that time. You know, I was never eating, and my mom, bless her soul, you know, because of course I was living with her, she would, you know, knock on my door trying to bring me food whenever she could, you know. So my family definitely tried to get me out of that hole. You know, unfortunately their methods necessarily didn't work, but like it helped, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
I mean, that's my family, you know, and it just made me love them even more. And it's not like we had disrespect for each other. However, there were times where like I could tell in the position I was in, it would frustrate them. And they're like, you just gotta get better. You just gotta fight. Like, get out of bed. Like, they would kind of get angry at me. But not so much because like they didn't like me. They were really angry at me. They just didn't like the situation and they just wanted the old Carlo back. And as a response, it was like they were yelling at me, but they were more so yelling at the situation. But I can't thank them enough for what they did.
Yeah, I think it's hard especially as a parent in that situation. You want to be able to fix your child or make them better and do something. And I think when you don't know how to do it, it can be quite frustrating. And you know, that's when they turn to that, to it can become, you know, quite angry and stressful and things like that. It's a stress on everyone around you, isn't it?
Are you struggling to lose weight? Have you tried all of the fad diets with no success? This is the one reason that you keep failing and gaining the weight back. You're doing a diet instead of a lifestyle. Nobody keeps up a diet long term. Eventually, it becomes too much and you go back to your old eating ways and the weight comes back on. This is where our 12-week fat loss plan is completely different. This is not a diet. It's a 12-week journey of learning how to implement simple, healthy and sustainable eating habits that allow you to maintain your fat loss for the long term. Diets are based on the principle of eat less, move more, which are the two main ingredients of increasing hunger. And in the long term, hunger will always win and your diet will fail. We have a very different approach. There is zero calorie counting involved. You do not need to restrict the amount of food you eat. You need to eat the right foods. The reason our method does not fail is because we're not starving your body. We give the body everything it needs to be satiated, be healthy, and to increase our metabolic rate, which all contributes to easy, consistent weight loss. Sound too good to be true? Fortunately, we have plenty of testimonials on our website from clients who've already experienced how well this works. What do you get with the 12-week fat loss plan? First off, you get an introductory call with an expert health coach. You get personalized nutrition and exercise plans, and you get 4 weekly check-in calls to keep you on track. 24/7 support on WhatsApp, and most of all, you get the knowledge to put in place these new habits and lifestyle that are going to improve your health and weight for the rest of your life. Get signed up today by clicking the link below or in the description.
What about your physical health during that time? I mean, I know you said you weren't hardly eating. What was your diet and your physical health like?
Yeah, so at the time, I was still dealing with my back issues. I was walking. I was trying to do physical therapy. However, it didn't really help. I got a couple of shots to help with the pain. Eventually, it did get a little bit better, but like it didn't really 100% heal until later on, maybe like a year after that, when it initially happened. But I was walking, you know, I was maintaining, but I wasn't training, you know, anymore. Being the guy with a background in personal training and fitness being his whole, you know, half of his life, his whole life pretty much, it kind of wrecked my identity in that aspect too. I wasn't walking, wasn't moving, wasn't exercising. I wasn't eating. I lost 13 pounds, or I don't know how it translates into kilos, but I just literally became a vegetable. You know, I hardly moved, didn't walk at all. You know, the most I would walk was probably from my bed to the bathroom. That was probably a couple feet, you know what I mean? But my health was not in the best place. And when I did eat, it would either be something that my parents had cooked extra because they knew I needed to eat, or it would be junk food.
Yeah, which are all, it's a vicious cycle, isn't it? Because, you know, mental health, things that affect it negatively are going to be, you know, no sunlight, being inside, you know, not eating properly and all this other stuff. So it's a vicious cycle. So what was the turning point for you? Was there a moment where you kind of something happened and you snapped out of it, you started to, or was it a really gradual thing where you came out of that period?
So it was an event. It was something that did happen, and it was sequential. Like, it didn't just happen just one day. Like, it happened within, like, a week, right? So I remember this was later on, probably in, like, November, early November of 2021. And my family was like, hey, we're all going out to lunch. It's Sunday. Let's go out to lunch. And I was like, are you crazy? Like, do you know how hard it is to get out of bed when we go out to lunch? Like, no. But eventually, they kind of broke me down. They wanted me to go, and we did. And we went out to this restaurant. And I just remember being, like, the most awkward person there. Like, I wasn't speaking. I was just eating my little salad and keeping to myself. I wasn't engaging in the conversation. I was just looking down the whole time. And, you know, it wasn't fun. But then as we were leaving, because we drove separately, obviously my mom drove me and her, and then my brother and sister drove separately, but we were all meeting back at my parents' house. And my brother was like, hey, take a ride with me. I was like, okay. And as we're in the car, we're going home, and we park, and then we have a heart-to-heart in the driveway. And he's like, hey, you know, I know what you're going through is not easy, and we want to help. We just don't know what to do at this point. I'm your brother, and I would do anything for you. You're my brother. Would you do anything for me? And the brotherly response was, of course I'll do anything for you. And then what he said, I wasn't expecting. He said, okay, can you do me a favor? I was like, I thought we were just speaking like hypothetically. He's like, I need you to do me a favor. I was like, okay, what is it? He says, I need you to go on a trip. And I was like, you want me to go on a trip? Do you know how hard it was to go to lunch? Now you want me to go on a trip? Are you crazy? And what he said next and like the process that followed, I think really put me on the path to finding my breakthrough. And I can't be more grateful enough for it. It is, my brother said this, He said, at this point, what do you have to lose? And I let that thought sink in. And he was right. Like, everything that I've been through, everything that I was doing currently, you know, I really thought about it and understood that, like, I honestly didn't have anything to lose. You know, the only thing I could do or wanted to do at the time was to make that one decision you cannot come back from. So I really let that question sink in, and I agreed. But before I responded, I did two things. The first thing I did was, it's like, you know, like that moment where, like, time freezes and you're just, like, by yourself. That's what happened. And it's like, I had this weird conversation with myself and time just froze. And I said to myself, I don't want to die. Like, I don't want to go anywhere. And I kept saying that over and over and over again. And that only built up the courage in me, that built up the drive, the will, the fight. And I was like, I just don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay here. And then the next thing I did was I focused on what I like to call my little flame. I shifted my focus from where I was, and I started to think about where I wanted to be. And you know when, like, someone takes like a match and strike a matchbook? I envisioned that there was this tiny little match, this tiny little flame that, like, sat in my gut. And for some reason, I don't know how I thought of it, but I resonated with this tiny flame, and I thought it represented the real me. Although it was very small, that tiny flame represented the guy who was funny, the ambitious guy, the dreamer, the jokester, the guy who would take his shirt off his back and give it to you if you were cold. Like, I felt him. It was very small, but I felt him. And the more I thought about this tiny little flame, it just grew and grew and grew. And then after this weird experience I had, trust me, I was not on narcotics, but this weird experience I had, then I answered my brother. And we're still in the driveway. We're still in the car. And I answer him. I say, okay. And then he was like, perfect. Where do you want to go? And I was like, I don't know. I didn't think that far. He's like, okay, well, when do you want to go? I said, soon. Okay, got it. Where? Do you want to go somewhere hot? Do you want to go somewhere cold? And here in Virginia during November, it's kind of coldish depending on what you get. So I was like, let's go somewhere warm. He said, okay, where? And I just said the first thing that came to my head. I was like, I don't know, Florida. He's like, okay, perfect. Don't worry about a thing. I'll do everything and I'll send you details tonight. And that was a Sunday. He sends me a text that night. We're going to West Palm Beach, Florida on Tuesday. And neither of us have been to West Palm Beach, Florida. Like, he just picked it because it sounded attractive. So we're going, and that first day on that Tuesday, I immediately regretted it. Like, we're going to the airport, we have our layover, and then we land in Florida, and I was like, I made a huge mistake. I should have stayed at home in my bed. Why am I here in Florida? Screw these palm trees. Screw the beach. Like, I don't want to be here. And all I wanted to do was lay in the hotel room, you know? And he was like, let's do something. Let's go on jet skis. Let's go rent a boat. And I was like, I'm not doing that. And that first day was miserable. And then the next day, same kind of stuff. And he was like, well, what do you want to do? I was like, nothing. So then my brother and I were, like, in this outside of a cafe, and we're outside, and he's doing something. He's, like, researching something. He's like, okay, I book what we're going to do. And he wouldn't tell me. I was like, what are we going to do? He's like, shut up, just walk with me and you'll find out. And somebody who was really depressed, who, like, his anxiety was growing, that's the worst thing you could do. Like, what's going to happen? So we're walking. And all of a sudden, we're at this stoplight. And we're in front of, like, this convention center. And all of a sudden, I see the sign in front of it. And it says, Tony Robbins, Unleash the Power Within. And I don't know if you know Tony Robbins. But we apparently he bought tickets to this event, this seminar, and neither of us knew he was down there. Neither of us knew what was happening. We didn't know anything about this place, about the time, nothing. So it was literally divine timing that we were there down in Florida at that time, that moment, during that event. And long story short, we're going to attend the seminar. And I'm not a spokesperson for him or for anything like that. And some people may like him, some people don't. But what I will say, that first day at that seminar, I had this feeling of like, I hope I don't get disappointed. Because I'm in a room of 10,000 people. And I was like, oh my God, this is intense. And I remember sitting there and I felt like I was the only person in the room. And I kind of had this feeling of like, I hope this isn't just like an experience, like a concert or like a vacation. Like, you know, when you go to a concert, you have fun, or you go on vacation, you have fun. But then when you come back, it's like, okay, back to reality.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to be like that. Like, I wanted to get out of this hole. I wanted to get out of this depression. And I really wanted it to be something transformational. And I'm so glad that that concert experience or that vacation experience that I thought it was going to be like was wrong. At that seminar, I learned not only how beautiful life really is, I learned and I found my purpose. And I teach what I learned and what I continue to learn on a daily basis to help my clients. When I give keynote speeches to Fortune 500 companies, to local organizations, it was all thanks to being in the right place at the right time, learning. But most importantly, the moral of the story is we're not letting one thing come in the way. And that is, what do you have to lose at this point? You know, I could have stayed in bed. I couldn't have not gone on that trip. But I just took a leap of faith. And that one thing, I think, put me on the path to finding that breakthrough, right? I feel like it was the universe's way of telling me, like, you're not done yet. You have work to do. You know what I mean? And I feel like anybody out there who's kind of struggling like the way I was, I think the biggest thing that you can do for yourself is, at least the first step, is just telling yourself you have nothing to lose at this point. Like, take that leap of faith. You know, just do it. It may be uncomfortable. I can speak from experience, but it changed everything for me.
Nowadays, struggling with health issues has become so common that we've started to accept it as an inevitable part of aging. 95% of the world's population today suffer with some kind of health issue, and over a third of all people have five or more health conditions. Now, despite the prevalence, this is not normal. The majority of the main culprits, like diabetes, hypertension, cancer, heart disease, autoimmune and bowel conditions, they were pretty much unheard of just 100 years ago. Now, with all the technology and medical advances we've made, shouldn't our health be getting better, not worse? 100 years ago, we didn't have the medications we have access to now, yet health was much better. How can this be? The answer is that these are all lifestyle and metabolic conditions. They're caused by our diet, environment, medications, and how we're living our lives. Yes, it all sounds pretty bleak, but there is some good news. These conditions are all reversible. By changing the very things that caused them, we can reverse these health conditions and get back to being healthy. Now, to achieve this, we use a natural, holistic approach to optimize every area of your life, from your diet, your sleep, exercise, environment, and more. By doing this, we avoid the need for any medications that always come with harmful side effects. In fact, medical negligence is the third highest cause of death worldwide, and a lot of the current health epidemic is conditions that are caused by the very medicines that are supposed to be helping. There's a steady pattern of the more medications you take, the sicker you get, and all they do is cover up the symptoms but never deal with the actual cause. We like to concentrate on root cause healing, getting to the bottom of what's causing your health issues and rectifying that first. Now, if you've spent years in the medical system, your health steadily declining, getting frustrated, and on more and more medications, maybe it's time for a change. Why not try a different approach and see what we can do for you? The majority of medications you're put on are for life, and you just have to accept it. You do not need us for life. Our approach is one of education. We teach you how to take control of your health on your own, so you never need to rely on any other person or medication again. The long-term solution is not us, it's you. For more information, visit our website, healthwealthuk.com, where you can book a free discovery call with an expert health coach. And let's get optimal together.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like you said, that, you know, that's just divine intervention, that all those things just happened to line up, that, you know, you decided to go there. I mean, he even let you pick the place. You picked Florida. It's not like, you know, he could have done pre-planned it, and then it just happened to be that Tony Robbins was there. That's crazy. As you say, the universe had bigger plans for you. And yeah, people should take a chance on trying something. As you said, that having that attitude of you've got nothing to lose, you know, that means that anything could be a positive, really, if you've got nothing to lose, and anything's worth a go. So that's brilliant to have. What was there any specific things, you know, that he said or that he talked about that really resonated with you and started that change when you were at the event?
Yeah, I think a big thing for me was, again, like I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, was ever since I was a kid, teenager, into my young adult life, you know, I always wanted to do the impossible. You know, I wanted to achieve success, monetary, business. I wanted to look attractive and get the muscles and six pack and whatnot. And this need for significance or like external validation just really wrecked me. And in addition to everything else I was thinking about myself and all that stuff, I really understood just the beauty and the simplicity of life. I connected with myself instead of letting external factors control the way I feel. I was simply going inside instead of looking outside. You know, I was reflecting on beautiful moments where I felt grateful, beautiful moments where I felt proud of myself, beautiful moments where I felt confident, you know, and I relived these moments and I was just like reconnecting with the real me, you know what I mean? And that fire was growing, that little fire I told you about, that little flame was growing even more because I was reconnecting with myself. And I think one of the biggest things I can really take away from that too is you can never fix your problem from the same energy that created it. And that really hit home for me because when I was there, we were moving a lot, you know, and like people will just say, oh, it's just some stupid dance party and whatnot. It's stupid. But I really understood the power of changing your state and being in that state of clarity and feeling good, because I didn't do that back at home. I laid in bed every day, you know, and I really understood that when I change my state, I'm changing everything, right? So a good example I like to describe it as is like if you're in school and the teacher says, hey, John, we have a math test today, but guess what? I have a cheat sheet for you and here are all the answers. On a normal day, you'll take it every day. But today, your classmate right beside you spilled hot coffee on you. And your shirt's all dirty, you're burning because the coffee is hot, and you're mad. You could care less what the teacher says, right? So I really use that in my own life, is that my parents are telling me things. I was seeing a therapist at the time, and I was telling me things. I was reading books, watching videos, because I wanted to beat this depression. I didn't know how. But the biggest thing I learned was I wasn't in the right state to accept all this information. So I was set in my ways. I was set in a certain area, and it was a recipe for disaster for me. But when I realized that I needed to change my state first, it changed everything. And then that's where I started focusing on different things, and that's where everything just started opening up for me. I just started learning, I started absorbing, and I just became a sponge. And that really helped me find my purpose, helped me understand I want to help people just like I was, who are in that place, who want to get out of it. Let me shine the light in that dark tunnel that they're in. And that's what I've been doing since, man. I've been a coach, I've been a speaker, and it's been the most fulfilling thing ever. And that was probably one of the biggest things that helped me.
Yeah, that's powerful. Just that reframing it And as you say, changing your state, and there's, you know, practicing gratitude. There's always things we can be grateful for, and just changing how we look at everything, it can be so powerful, definitely. And I think obviously you mentioned there that you were, I think you mentioned somewhere that you were ready to accept it. And I think that that's one of the things as well, is that is frustrating for people, like with your family trying to help you. When someone's in that position, if they're not ready to help themselves, no matter what you do, you can't really help them, can you? And then you reach that point where you were kind of ready to accept it and make that change. So that's awesome. So take us back to, obviously, you've been at the event, you know, you've had that kind of change. Where do you go from there? Like, when you go back to home, what is your life looking like then? How are you starting to change things?
It felt so weird, so euphoric, because I remember it like yesterday. You know, my parents pick us up from the airport, and I'm a blabbermouth. I can't stop talking. And I'm like, oh, this happened, then this happened, then this happened. And like, from my parents' point of view, it was probably like, what just happened to our child? He left not talking, depressed, suicidal. Like, he was this hollow person. And all of a sudden, he's coming back, and he's talking my ear off. Like, what happened? So when I came back, I was like a man on a mission. You know what I mean? I felt like I had a bigger purpose. I found my purpose. I felt like I had a duty, a moral obligation to help people that were in that same position I was in. And I just got to work. You know, I revamped my coaching business. I still kind of kept it online personal training, but involved what I learned. But then as the years kind of progressed, it became just coaching for just, you know, men who are going through what I was going through. Right. I narrowed it down. I kind of tweaked some things, and I was just like a man possessed. You know, I was working, I was trying to make contacts, I was trying to find whoever I could help, I would try to help. And it was like that flow state 24/7.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Like that transformation. And I think one of the key things, you mentioned it a couple of times, is you found a purpose. You had a purpose. I think having a purpose is really powerful tool, isn't it? With things like that, to make us just be able to look at things positively.
Absolutely. And one thing that really, I think, resonated with me about purpose is, like, I knew I always wanted to help people, but I didn't know how. I realized that if there might be people out there who are super lost, that feel like, oh, I don't have a purpose at all, I don't have an idea. My theory is, maybe you're going through what you're going through right now for a reason, because when you get out of it, maybe you can have the same experience that I did. Maybe you can change your pain into your purpose, and that's what you're meant to do, you know? And plus, when you're in that state, the sky's the limit. You know, you can go back and say, oh, I want to play football. I want to be a footballer again because I feel better now. Like, anything, like, the sky's the limit. But if there are people who feel like extremely lost, like they don't have a single inclination of what to do, maybe they're going through this for a reason, and their pain can transform into that purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the best lesson learned is one you've gone through yourself, isn't it? You know, an experience, that's the most powerful. So again, it's framing it, isn't it? You could frame a bad experience in a positive way and be like, okay, well, look what I learned from that experience, rather than what I had to go through. So yeah, I think absolutely. What about for someone who's, because obviously you've been there, you've been there yourself, so you would know how someone in that position is feeling. What's some advice you can give to someone in that position that they might be willing to accept? Because obviously a lot of things people who haven't been in that position might say probably aren't going to resonate. So what kind of advice could you give?
I would say to that person who thinks that it's impossible to get better, like I did, the person who's unwilling to do anything like I did, if I could sit with that person in a room, I would say the same thing my brother told me. I was like, you have nothing to lose at this point. Why not give it one more shot? Because worst case scenario, like, it can't get worse for you. Like, you can just come back here, right? You can lay in bed. Like, it's still here for you. It's not going anywhere. So I would say is, like, take the leap of faith. Just try one more time, and you'd be surprised what you can find.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, like you said there, just try one more time. It's always worth trying something else, even if it sounds like crazy, sounds like that it's never going to work. You know, I mean, I'm sure that if your brother come to you and just said flat out, hey, come to Florida with me, we're going to go see Tony Robbins, you probably would have said no. The way around that he went it, and the way that it ended up probably worked out better. Like, I think, yeah, just always give it a try. It sounds crazy. You'd be like, well, that's not going to work. But hey, it did. You know, you've turned your life around. And now, obviously, as you said, you're helping other people that are in similar situations. So, I mean, that must be rewarding for you as well.
100%. You know, it's so fulfilling because it's kind of funny. I had a coaching call with some of my clients yesterday, and seeing their faces light up, their smiling faces. It's like the first day I met them, they're all like really sad and they're not really talking. But now when I'm working with them is that they're so happy. They're smiling all the time. They say, oh, I did this and I did this. It's like seeing myself find that breakthrough over and over again. And it's fulfilling. You know, I can't wish for a better life than that. You know, like doing what I feel like I was called to do, helping people and like letting them transform, seeing their transformations is the best feeling ever. And I thought of another thing that really resonated with me, that really helped me, excuse me, and I could like tell that person too, is that stories, like the story you keep telling yourself is fake. Like, plain out. And the reason why I say that is because we have stories that we tell ourselves over and over again, and we believe them to be true so hard. And what I understood about beliefs is that it's only a story you tell yourself with enough emotional intensity attached to it. So when I told myself I was worthless, I'm a loser, I don't have purpose, you know, it's hopeless for me, I just said that over and over again. That's what became my reality. But I feel like when people understand that they have the power to rewrite their story, again, like I mentioned, the sky's the limit. They can do anything. If they simply find reasons of why they are confident, of why they are smart, of why they are attractive, why they are successful, or anything like that, you can easily change your story by attaching something with enough emotional attachment to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And empowering people, that's, you know, a similar thing. It's the people I deal with are physical health things, but it's the same as it's empowering them that they can do something about it. And I think, you know, in all walks of life, we do nowadays, I think people don't feel like they have any power, and that's one of the things that drags them down. So I think empowering them is, you know, that's a huge step when you can do that. With the people that you're working with, obviously, if they're in similar positions to you were, are they finding you themselves? Have they got like family members who are saying, can you, you know, help this person?
It is a mixture. So that does happen. Like, ironically, yesterday there was a mother of a son who said, hey, you know, I saw your posts. My son is not going through the best thing. He's kind of going what you went through. Can we chat? Can you help him? And I'm like, of course, sure. Let's do a call. Let's see what's going on. You know, people find my content on social media, like on Instagram, TikTok, stuff like that. And from things like this, from podcasts, they resonate with my story and they want to feel confident again. They want to overcome those limiting beliefs. They want to find that purpose again and be the person that they were before. So they'll message me from listening to podcasts such as this. When I do keynotes, you know, someone, when I get off stage, they'll come to me and they'll say, hey, that was really impactful. That was a really powerful story. I'm dealing with X, Y, and Z, or my brother is dealing with X, Y, and Z, or hey, can you speak at my company's event? And it's just speaking to people, putting, you know, all these streams, if that makes sense, of stuff out there for people to find, you know, whether it be speaking on stages, speaking in podcasts, doing content where people find me, you know, that's just people find me everywhere.
Yeah, that's awesome. What do you find when I imagine if someone's reached out to you themselves, they're more likely to be open to it. But if let's just say like that lady where she's come and asked about her son, do you find that her son is quite receptive when you speak to people like that at first, or are they kind of quite guarded and you've got to kind of inch your way in?
I would say both. And it's kind of funny because I was on the receiving end of that before I even became a coach, because I did therapy. Originally, I didn't want to do therapy, but my mom talked me into it. She was like, hey, this is a family friend or something like that. So she was there with me on like the first session. And of course, it was difficult to explain what was going on because it's a stranger. But I think it's easier when you can relate to the person. You know what I mean? So obviously when people reach out to me themselves, they're more open because they know everything I'm about, right? They see my pages, they see my speeches, they see these podcasts, and they know what I'm about. And they message me saying, hey, can we talk? As opposed to a mother, a brother, a father, whoever, and they say, hey, my son, my cousin, my whoever, they're just like you. And it may take a little bit of convincing on that receiving end, like the son, the mother, the brother, whoever, to accept it. But again, if they're open to it, if they want to get better, like we mentioned before, if they want to, the process is easier. But sometimes they're not in that position. Sometimes they don't care what you throw at them. You know, yeah. You can give them the cure to any disease, but if they're not there, they're not going to accept it. So I've experienced both.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think stories are so powerful because I think, you know, deep down, I think we all want to be kind to ourselves and love ourselves and want ourselves to be happy. But I think some people get so down and dark in that place that they don't see a way out, like you said. And the fact that you've been there and you've done it and you've overcome it and you've got that story, I think, you know, that gives you such a powerful base to go from working with those people, because they can literally see you are literally an example that, you know what, it can work and it's not too late.
Absolutely. And I think I'm not one for motivational or inspirational, but I am one for connectiveness and just connect. Like, if you actually see just like how I see you right now, and you told me you went through the exact same thing, like I connect with you because I can relate to it. You know, it's one thing to see it on Instagram, you know, oh, I did this, you know, but like once you build a relationship, once you have one conversation and you have that relatability and you connect with someone, the process becomes a lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think that's a really powerful thing that you have, is that you have that ability to connect with them from having been there. But when you first start with people, what is it more like a mindset shift? Is that your first goal? Things like that? And do you start to implement other things like in their everyday routines and lifestyles that help them with it?
Exactly. That's pretty spot on. If I were to tweak that answer, I would say first, I like to set expectations, you know? I like to say, hey, I know what you're going through. It sucks. But if we do this and if we commit and you actually put in the work, we're going to see results. You're going to see a change. So the first thing I always do is I like to lay the foundation as if I'm building a house. And it starts with, why do you want to get better? Like I my philosophy is, whoever I'm working with, they have all the answers already themselves. I'm just pulling them out of them. And that's something I think is really powerful, because what helped me is there was nothing external, so to speak, that was anything new. Like, yeah, kind of with like getting to that state, but like what really brought me back was just reflecting on things that I already had inside. And so my job is to simply extract that from them. So the first step is just asking them, like, what's prevented you from living a happy life before? And they'll write it down. What has prevented you from doing X? Write it down. What do you really want out of this? Write it down. And then I kind of know and get a feel for where this person is, what this person really wants. And then we start laying the foundation. Patterns, you know, mindset, like where you are, what we're going to do. And then it goes into everything. It goes into state shifting, changing your focus, and then everything else I teach. But the first thing is just that. You know what I mean? It's what do you really want? Changing that mindset, explaining what it is that is holding you back, acknowledging the patterns you are currently engaging in that are keeping you here and how we can change those. And then it just builds.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. With people, I know everyone's different, everyone's individual, but you know, are there some people where it's like literally like light bulb goes off straight away, or is it normally like kind of a few weeks, or does it take a while for most people?
It varies. It varies. I have one client who literally I had one call with, and this is my most happiest moment is like, I had one call with him. He's like, yeah, I'm not depressed anymore. I feel really good. Whatever you did worked. I was like, oh my God. And that was probably one of the best days ever. But then I've had this one client who I may be working with several weeks, you know, towards like the middle part of my coaching program. And he's always improving every single week. And he feels better. But then like yesterday I talked to him and he's like smiling the whole time. He's energetic. And like at the beginning of the call, he's like, yeah, I'm just tired. I was working, you know, all night. But then like by the time we were speaking, he was like, yeah, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And like, so it can take one call or it can take maybe a few. So everyone is different, but I've had both ends of the spectrum and it's a blessing to see either one.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as long as people are making progress, you say everyone's individual. I'm sure that the way you work with people is personalized as well to their situation and everything. So everyone's different, but as long as they're making progress, I think as long as people can see progress as well, that's really good, you know, to help them. If they can start getting some little wins, that's always good.
Of course. And I make sure that they count them,
yeah,
you know, because people will overlook their wins, but they will nitpick their failures.
Yeah, that's true.
Failure. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I expect, and I literally do this every single call. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to go over your successes, your victories, your wins for the week. Because that gets them in that state of being self-aware, counting your victories, and giving yourself credit. Because a lot of people don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. That is right. We're always too hard on ourselves, aren't we? We actually just recently on another podcast, we were speaking about that, about you, people don't celebrate their own victories. Like even if it's a small one, if it's, you know, celebrate your wins, you know, big yourself up and be positive.
Absolutely. And it's fascinating to realize that people more so do the exact opposite. And I don't get it. You know what I mean? So I just like to reiterate that and reinforce it. Like, hey, your wins are there. You're just not looking at them.
Yeah, that's it. You got to focus on those positives and shift that mindset. So there was a hard question that I wanted to ask you, which, you know, only answer it if you're willing to. But because there's people who will be in a similar situation, I wanted to ask it to you. Obviously, you said about at times when you were really low down, you did think about, you know, ending everything and doing that. What was it that held you back? Was there anything you held on to which stopped you from doing that?
Honestly, the only thing that was really holding me back was like the anxiety of doing it, you know, like, cause at that point I was literally there. Like everything was like the stage was set, so to speak, and everything was going to work out the way I, you know, was going to do it. But what held me back was just the anxiety of doing it, you know. And then after that, it's just reflecting on my family, you know. At the time, I wasn't even considering them, but like the more you think about it, like your family needs you, you know, your friends, if they're really close, they need you, you know, people need you. And that prevented me from doing it. And then just again, thinking about if I just try one more time, one last attempt to change my life, why not? Let's do it. And that's what really stopped me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I think that's important things you say. People, if people in that situation, if they, you know, do hold on to their family and people around them, and the fact that why not just try again, you know, to sort it out. To hear it from someone that's been there like yourself, I think makes it more powerful than, you know, if I'm just standing here telling them, hey, think this. But, you know, if I've not been there, it's a bit different to you've been there and saying it, and that, you know, look at where you are now. It's worth trying again.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is.
That is awesome. Listen, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your story. But before you go, tell everyone where they can find you if they want to either see your content or they want to work with you. You know, let us know everywhere we can get hold of you.
Yeah, of course. You know, if there's anyone out there who really resonated with the story, first off, I appreciate you. You know, I thank you. And I will say, if you want to gain that confidence back, if you want to stop feeling hopeless, gain that purpose, and be the real you again, go ahead on Instagram. That's probably the best place you can find me because that's where I'm most active. You can find me at Carlo_Taormina_lifecoach.
Awesome. We will share your links in the show notes for people, so it's easy for them to find you. And once again, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on and giving us your time.
Thank you so much. I can't thank you enough. It was a pleasure, and I love it. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Right. We'll see everyone again next week for another episode, and let's get optimal together.